S-R-N.
You're not your job. You're not how much money you have in the bank. You're not the car you drive. You're not the contents of your wallet. You're not your fucking khakis. You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
Who's the king of the demo?
You are, Mr. Simmons.
Who?
You are Mr. Simmons.
You're goddamn right I am. One, two, three. Yeah!
Shut up and listen. Expert in martial arts.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Explosives, weapons, and tactics.
Why the fuck would I blow up Chick-fil-A? It's fucking delicious.
Silver Star, Navy Cross.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Purple Heart with Cluster.
Always bet on black.
Security clearance revoked after Panama.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
You are now listening to Cinema Press Hoagies.
Yes, welcome to episode 41. 41?
41.
Episode 41 of Cinema Crespo Diso, getting our facts straight. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, script doctor, or if you need some greeting cards, something like that, I can do that kind of stuff, you know.
You do greeting cards?
I can.
It's awesome.
It'll be, you know.
I need greeting cards done.
Construction paper. Crayons, we're good to go.
I need some greeting cards.
Do you like the macaroni, glue-on macaroni style greeting cards?
No.
Oh, that's a shame because I excel and I specialize in macaroni. I call it wackaroni art. That's what I call
wackaroni
it.
Art.
Trying to stay hip with the kids.
You should post some pictures of your wackaroni art.
A good idea.
On the interweb.
I think I will. Let me just see if I can find some. I'll scoop some up, and I'll post them on there. That voice is Drew Sakagwa, and Drew, how's it going?
It's going, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just hanging out, ready to do another wonderful episode of Cinema Crespity. So we had a guest kind of fall through. Family stuff happens. Sometimes you're stuck home watching the kids. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Drew?
Oh, I know what you mean.
You do know what I mean?
No, I don't have any children.
It's exactly my point. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I got no kids.
So it's just Drew and I. We're hanging out. We're going to be talking about movies for a little while here. I hope you guys are you're down with that. If you weren't, why are you downloading? But we appreciate you downloading. You can always check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, aircheck.us, stuff like that. Or chriscrespo.com, of course. Good old chriscrespo.com. However you found us, thank you for downloading. Tell your friends. Leave comments. Rate us. Do things like that. Leave reviews. Are we on Yelp? Should we be on Yelp, Drew?
On what?
Yelp. Do you know what Yelp is?
I mean, yeah, but I know people use it for like restaurants and stuff.
And so we're kind of a public service type of place, you know, right?
Yelp? Are we?
I have no idea.
Sure, put us on Yelp. See what happens.
Put us on Yelp. Someone put us on Yelp and then leave us reviews, and let's see what happens. All right. Do you hear a little fuzzy there?
No.
No. Well, then we're going to keep on going.
All right.
Let's get started with the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew, you got the randomizer 9000 right there. Every week we do a different Netflix Instant Pick from the library. Because, Netflix has so many movies on there. How do you know which ones to bother even watching? End up watching a turd more than anything else if you just pick them randomly. Drew's making a puzzled face. Do you not know what this movie is?
No, I know exactly what it is.
Oh, so why the puzzled face?
Because the way that it was coming up.
What?
In the search.
What? Why? Is there more than one?
No. It's Ong Bak, the Thai warrior. But when you search for it, it says Ong Bak, semicolon, Ong Bak, colon, the Thai warrior.
Ong Bak, the Thai warrior.
Yes. But when you search for it, it says Ong Bak, semicolon, Ong Bak, colon, the the Thai Warrior. So it says Ong Bak twice. That's why I was confused.
All right, well, that's what it is. Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior. Good old Ong Bak colon Thai Warrior. From Thailand, because this is a Thai Warrior, Ong Bak stars Tony Jaa. I guess it's the first Tony Jaa movie. Pretty sure it's the first Tony Jaa. J-A-A.
Is it?
He's not Jamaican. He's Thai. Tony Jaa, man. Respect. No, nothing. Nope. This is a pretty kick-ass movie. A lot of it's Muay Thai is the emphasis, so a lot of elbows and knees.
Lots of knees.
To faces.
Devastating knees to faces.
Devastating knees to faces. Yes, and I'm pretty sure in this movie, some guy, he gets kicked out a window. Like, from the second floor to the first floor, he gets kicked out a window, and then Tony Jaa proceeds to also knee him in the face on the way down.
I'm pretty sure, yes.
I'm pretty sure it happened in this movie. Also, there's a moment in this movie where Tony Jaa kicks people in the face while his feet are on fire.
Yes, that is true as well.
So, just for those things alone, this movie is easy to recommend. But there's plenty of crazy stunts. Crazy, crazy stunt work. Some of the stunts so awesome that they do the old 80s, let's show them in instant replay. Different angles, slow yes. It down, you know, show it three times like that. It's cool. It's awesome. He's like 2000s version of Jackie Chan. So Tony Jaa is
2003.
That's why I said 2000s because he's still doing his thing.
Is he?
They've made three Ong Bak movies.
I've only seen the first one.
Each one worse than the last.
That's probably why I've only seen the first one.
Second one's okay. You haven't seen the second one?
Nope.
That's some good moments. The second one features Tony Jaa. He runs forward and then like he runs up the face of an elephant, and then does a backflip, and then some guy was chasing him and he does a backflip off the elephant's face and then kicks the guy in the back of the head.
Nice.
The guy who was chasing him. It's pretty wild.
It's crazy.
It's good. It's good stuff. I mean, you know, if you're into stuff like that. So Ong Bak, how's it again in the Netflix?
Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior.
Yeah. O-N-G. B-A-K.
Dash. Correct.
Oh, there's a dash in there.
Dash, yeah. O-N-G dash B-A-K.
So check that one out, people. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. It opens with a scene of like a bunch of guys trying to climb to the top of a tree and throwing each other off the tree. And it ends up with like people being thrown like 20, 30 feet off a tree onto an obviously padded ground below. But we're not trying to see these guys die. Just cool stunt work. Right?
I don't know. I kind of like to see them die.
Drew would like to see them die because he's a evil taskmaster.
Can be.
You bastard. Brutal, brutal bastard, Drewster Cogburn, he is.
Of sorts.
Of sorts. What kind of sorts are those?
I have no idea.
You're not even sure?
Nope. Cross that bridge when I get to it.
Okay. All right, well, let's do the old box office review recap for the weekend. Drew, you got the box office mojo numbers there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be
yeah, starting off at number five this week, we have Escape Plan that had a weekend gross of $9.8 million. Total gross the same. No listed budget on Box Office Mojo.
I read that the budget reported to be somewhere between 75 to 100 million.
Well, they...
So not a cheap movie.
Interesting. Where'd all that money go?
Probably a lot of it went to pay Stallone and Schwarzenegger. They got to get paid, yo.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger's got, divorce settlement, alimony, stuff like that.
And it's correct.
How's that Orangina?
It's delicious.
You think you're in Europe or something? You think you're in a transporter drinking Orangina?
Dude, I'm
this is America. You're drinking an Orangina. I'm drinking a Yingling.
Yep.
You should be drinking a Yingling. But instead you're having an Orangina.
I don't want beer right now.
Okay, fine.
Is there something unpatriotic about that?
No, that's cool. You can have all the early vodka you want. Vodka and Orangina, that's cool. No one's judging. No one's.
There's no vodka in this.
Sure there isn't. I can smell it from here, dude. I can see the bottle. The bottle's sitting right there. Giant Smirnoff. It's half empty already. Unbelievable. Who do you think you're hiding that from? Don't kick it behind your chair. I can see it. Stop kick. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you in front of everyone. So we saw Escape Plan.
That we did.
Stallone and Schwarzenegger finally team up together.
In a pretty crappy movie.
I didn't think it was crappy. You thought it was crappy?
You
thought it was straight up crappy?
It really didn't.
You didn't like it at all?
It really didn't catch my attention.
It did drag a little, for sure. Could have been shorter.
The action scenes that were there were few and far between.
Wasn't much action. It is pretty light on the action. It is more of a prison escape movie. as opposed to an action movie.
I mean, Stallone's character wasn't half as smart as they panned him out to be.
Yeah, right. I mean, well,
the prison wasn't half as secure as it panned out to be.
Well,
and
spoilers. What are we talking about? Come on. It is called Escape Plan.
And
the trailers do show about 90% of the movie.
And the big reveal of, like, where is the prison?
I'm glad they didn't hold that off to the end. I was glad the big reveal of where the prison is, it was like more of a midway point in the movie thing. It's like, oh, okay, at least now we know. And
still
we're not
kinda lame.
You thought it was lame? Yeah. I thought it made sense. I was like, yeah, that's logical. I'm not going to say what it is, but it's logical. So you just like, you're like, screw this movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I was entertained enough by it. I like Stallone. I like Schwarzenegger. Seeing him in the movie, it was fun seeing Schwarzenegger speak Austrian or German, whatever the hell
that
he was speaking.
That was fun.
That was cool. And the people who made this movie did recognize the value of shooting Schwarzenegger holding a giant machine gun.
Yes.
You know, like they knew what they had there, and they milked it.
Well, they had to.
Well, some people don't. Some people would be stupid enough to gloss over little things like that, little moments.
I wanted to see more of that.
They could have used more stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
That would have made me more excited.
It's definitely, if it didn't have Schwarzenegger, if another actor was in that role.
Oh, it would have been even lamer.
No, it would have been straight to a video. It would have been would never have been in theaters.
No, never.
I'm thinking if it didn't have Stallone but did have Schwarzenegger, it would still come out in theaters just because it's Schwarzenegger. And I think he's like the one dude holding out, not refusing to go direct to video. You know, he's the one guy. But
he needs to make better movies then.
Yeah, $10 million opening weekend ain't good. But you know, internationally they can make some Expendables type money.
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it does have what's the dude from Jurassic Park who plays the doctor?
Sam Neill.
Yeah.
How come he's not in any of the commercials, man? Sam Neill popped up. I was like, sweet. He's got a beard.
I know.
It was
cool.
That was awesome.
I haven't seen him in a while.
That was cool seeing Sam Neill in the movie. Fitty Sun was all right. He was Fitty. He does his thing. Good orange in there.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Did you shake it up or is the vodka settling
nope,
in there?
Nope, no, didn't shake it at all.
Vincent D'Onofrio, he was like that whole germaphobe thing where he was, you know, always cleaning his hands with Purell.
That had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, right. It didn't pan out. I bet you that was like a choice D'Onofrio brought to the character. He's like, this is what I'm going to do with the character.
Along with that crappy accent, whatever weird voice he was using.
It was just, yeah, wasn't an accent. It was just
I don't
weird.
Know what the hell it was.
It was something kind of funny.
Yeah.
He's a weird guy. So he's going to make weird choices as an actor that don't pay off in any way in the movie.
Correct.
It definitely like felt like a direct-to-video movie, but with Stallone and Schwarzenegger. So I'd say if you're fans of those guys and you like, you know, movies featuring them. I mean, it had a lot of them. It wasn't like Schwarzenegger had a small role or, you know, they weren't teamed up together. Once Stallone gets in that prison, it's, you know, it's the two of them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. Had some funny lines in there.
There
were a couple of times when I chuckled. I was like, that's funny.
Yeah,
there were a couple of days where I was like, that was funny. I thought so. All right, so yeah, I would say, you know, it's mostly a Redbox movie unless, like, you really, really love Stallone, Schwarzenegger, in which case it's a matinee type of deal. Maybe see it on an airplane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't really have to run out to see it in the theater. What would you say, Drew?
I would have to agree. I mean, even if wait till it comes out on TV or HBO or something.
Oh, you would go that low.
Spend as little money as possible.
Spend as little money as possible, Drewster says. That's the Drewster Cogburn review of Escape Plan. All right, well, there you go. Let's move on.
Number four this week, we got Clouded with Chance Meatballs 2.
Had
a weekend gross of $10.1 million. Total gross of $93.13 on a budget of
$78 million.
Yep.
Trying to be more of a hype man for you while you're in the box office.
Yeah.
I'm going to back you up on the...
Ha!
Stuff like that, yeah.
What? You going to start barking like a dog, too?
No.
No?
Well, maybe.
No dog barking.
Who knows what might randomly... So Clouded with a Chance of Meatballs Dose. Haven't seen it yet. Drew hasn't.
Nope.
But Drew says people have told you to check it out.
I had a couple people tell me that it was worth seeing.
So are you going to go see it?
Not in theaters.
On Redbox. We'll Redbox that shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Moving on. How's Orangina?
Number three this week. Carrie. Had a weekend gross of $17 million.
Woo, Carrie!
Total gross at the same.
Same gross.
Budget of 30.
Woo, Drew!
I didn't see it.
I did.
So?
Oh, you're waiting for me to okay.
Say something about the movie that you're supposed to be reviewing.
Did
right
you
now?
Did you see Carrie, 1976 Carrie?
Yes.
Then you've seen the 2013 Carrie.
Same shot for shot?
Oh, not shot for shot, but there are a lot of the dialogue is lifted almost verbatim. Like a lot of the scenes, the dialogue is straight up the same. There are a couple of things that I know De Palma wanted to do with the original movie that he couldn't because of budget reasons, and they ended up doing with this one, which is pretty much like blow up a gas station. And then the big ending, they changed the ending to what De Palma originally wanted it to be. Instead of the house, it doesn't matter. If you saw the original, it's you're talking about a remake of a movie. If people seen it, but if people, I'm sure there are people that haven't seen the original Carrie.
I'm sure.
Which you should. If I had a choice between the original and the new one, I would say still check out the original, the De Palma one. But this one, just it's fine. It's okay. I was entertained enough. You know, it wasn't long or anything. Chloe Grace Moritz, she was good. She's good. Julianne Moore, she's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It looked like kind of grasping at straws there, buddy.
I mean, it was Carrie. It's what do you want? It is what it is. It was kind of stylish. It was the same movie, but updated. So all the same shit happens, except now there's like cell phone footage,
sweet,
included, and uploading stuff on YouTube.
Awesome.
Is incorporated as teenage bullying. It is relevant these days when it comes to teenage bullying, because that's a big thing now, especially like, you know, girl on girl bullying and shit like that. With that one girl doing that thing where, you know.
Stuff
that thing happened,
yeah,
that horrible thing recently,
yeah, with the stuff,
right? It was terrible.
It was,
this is a similar deal, where it's, you know, mean girls bullying type of thing, you know,
except this time the girl has psychic powers, she has
telekinetic powers, so.
Kills everybody.
Moral of the story is, if you're a bully, be careful who you push, you might have a Magneto on your hands,
exactly,
aka Dr. Magnets,
worst name ever.
That should be his name.
Worst name ever.
He should be, or at least they can call him Magneto, aka Dr. Magnet. So I'm not done with the Carrie review. Carrie is definitely a red box type of deal.
All right.
At the most, no need seeing it in a theater.
I can't wait to see it comes out on HBO.
It's HBO, red box, that type of thing. Magneto, aka Dr. Magnets, aka
Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips,
which is number two this week.
That's a weird.
That a weekend grew to $17.3 million. Total gross of 53.3 on a budget of 55.
Pretty good.
Not bad at all.
What's the, that's got to be like, what, a 30% drop from week to week? What do you got there?
32.7.
32.7% drop from last week. Well, remember we talked about last week how movies typically have a 60% drop. So if it's in the 30s, that means it has a strong hold, holding on to that audience from the previous week, which denotes good word of mouth. It means people are telling other people to go check it out. Plus, this is Captain Phillips is a movie for adults. I mean, not a lot of kids are going to be wanting to check out this movie.
Yeah, no.
And adults aren't the type of people that all rush out opening weekend to see something. They're the ones that they go see a movie first chance they can get.
Yep, whenever that may be.
So they'll be more inclined to, like, oh, they'll skip a movie the weekend it comes out, and then their friends say, oh, you got to see it, it's good, all right. Then they'll make more of a point to check it out the second weekend, third weekend, stuff like that. So Captain Phillips making $50 million by its second week could get to, like, at this rate, $80, $90 million, maybe even $100 if it's, you know, if it really holds on well. If it gets that Oscar bump by the end of the year, it's possible.
Nice.
That'll be pretty good for them on a $55 million budget, too. Yeah, if there's a movie theater in Somalia, I'm sure this will be the number one movie in Somalia.
Oh, sure.
I wonder if there's a movie theater there.
I'm sure somewhere in the country there's one movie theater.
You think so, really?
Probably in the capital.
All right. I'll take that. What's the capital of Somalia?
I have no idea.
Somalia.
Number one this week, Gravity.
Bum, bum, bum.
How do we congress? $31 million.
Woo! Hype man.
Total gross of 170.5.
Goddamn!
On a budget of 100.
Woo! That's a big budget.
Yep.
But, yeah, this is actually one of the fastest films to get to $150 million. It only took them 16 days to get to $150 million.
Nice.
And outside of summer movies and, like, the big holiday movies, you know, like, the rest of the year, this is one of the fastest ones. It's more like a 300, got to 150 really fast. Hunger Games got to 150 super fast. So Gravity is looking at somewhere around, based on those movies, somewhere between 220 million to like 300 domestically.
Well, I mean,
heck of a lot of money there, man.
I mean, it's actually in 160 more theaters this week.
Oh, they added theaters. Yeah. Geniuses. And what's the percentage drop? Another 28. Woo! Man, gravity. So many puns there about gravity soaring and stuff like
that.
You know, and defying gravity by, you know, a.k.a.
So it's defying itself?
Bullshit. What?
So
yes.
It's defying itself?
It's defying itself to make a shit ton of money. It is kind of crazy that this is one to catch on sort of in the pop culture. It's rare when a movie is so well reviewed and regarded, and then also people
are like, you guys should go see this movie.
Yeah, yeah. The common man, it's like, you know, the common film goer, the average Joe. Remember when we had that that survey? We read that survey, and it was like 30, 40% of people go to the movie like twice a year.
Yeah.
Something like that. Those people are going out to see Gravity in 3D.
Good for them.
You know, and it ain't just because of the great reviews from the critics. It's because their friends are telling them to do it, and they're hearing it at work and at school, and because it's awesome. I read this big Wall Street Journal article trying to figure out why this movie's making so much money, breaking down the quadrants and the 3D and the this and the that and the star appeal. Why? At the end of the day, it's because the movie's good.
Makes sense. If the movie's good, the people will come.
It's good. Just like that Orangina that Drew just finished triumphantly.
It was delicious. I've been drinking it since middle school, man.
That one bottle and you just finished it?
This one single bottle.
Holy
yes.
cow.
I know.
That's so the vodka's just been stretching it out since then?
Yep. I've just been adding more vodka every single day.
It did look kind of light.
Yeah.
For Orangina. You're just drinking straight vodka out of that bottle, aren't you?
Yes. Man. Yes, I am.
Fooled me. Been fooling me for years.
Decades.
Fooling yourself for decades.
And everyone around me.
That's how it usually works. That's how it usually works with functional alcoholics.
Yep, I'm pretty good.
So Gravity is great. We reviewed it, two weeks ago?
Three.
You can go to chriscrespo.com for my written review of it. It's a great movie. Everyone loves it. We love it.
It's amazing.
My mom loves it. My mom hasn't seen it. My dad loves it. My brother loves it. My uncle loves it.
Everybody that I've talked to loves it.
Everyone that Jude has talked to has loved it, even if they haven't seen it.
Most of them have seen it.
Most of them have seen it, so that helps.
Most of them by pressure of me.
Matty J wants to talk shit about it, so we're going to have him on the show soon.
Oh, god damn it. Of course he does. what is he going to argue that the thermodynamics are all off or something?
No, maybe he'll go all Neil deGrasse Tyson on that shit, like how Neil deGrasse High School over there, he tweeted a bunch of things, hashtag mysteries of gravity, about things that, you know, impossibilities, way things
it's
line
a movie.
Up. Right! So, go see Gravity if you haven't yet. See it again if you've already seen it. It is the highest grossing October opening ever for movie opening in October. Highest grossing film ever for October.
Sweet.
So there you go. New movies on Divid. A few movies here. First, there's something called The Way, Way Back. You can check out The Way, Way Back if you're into little independent movies about coming of age type things with Sam Rockwell and a couple other people. I forget who. It's supposed to be quite good.
How far back?
The Way, Way Back. Most of it takes place at a water park. Only God Forgives. Try that again. Only God Forgives comes out again. No, for the first time on DVD. Let's try that. Take three. Only God Forgives comes out on DVD this week. Drew, are you ready for that? Only God Forgives?
Weird movie.
Ready to watch that one again?
Yes, I think.
I need to watch it one more time before, because I wanted to watch it once more before I wrote my review.
No.
Note, never played in theaters here in Central Florida.
I can understand why.
I can't. I want my movies. There's a bunch of other crap playing here. There's a bunch of other garbage playing here in theaters.
I'm pretty sure it's the hand scene.
Nah, there's got to be more than that. Nah, I've seen worse shit than that.
In theaters?
Yes.
In Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. I saw Wrecking for a Dream here in Central Florida, goodness gracious.
Duh.
Right. On a big screen. In your face. I mean, that movie was in your face. So Only God Forgives comes out. Definitely want to watch that again so I can review it. The Internship.
Oh, so don't care.
The Google movie. And the R-rated horror film smash from earlier this year, The Conjuring, which made a ton of money.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, it's not. I saw it. It's meh. I'm not even sure why it's rated R, to be honest. It's more of a PG-13 type movie. But those are coming out. on DVD. So there you go, people.
Apparently things get conjured.
Things, sort of.
Wait, sort of? So it's called The Conjuring and there's not even any conjuring going on?
Hey, we're not in the making sense business. We're in the making movies business.
No, we're in the reviewing movies business.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, we're in the podcasting business.
We're not making any money.
Exactly. all right, so what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, something that I've been looking forward to since, you know, I first saw the trailers, and then I've seen, you know, the trailers every week for the last who knows how long. The Counselor.
It's about time.
Directed by Ridley Scott. Brad Pitt. Michael Fassbender, Javier Bardem.
About time.
Penelope Cruz.
Waiting for this to come out forever now.
Cameron Diaz. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
People are going to die.
Yep.
Probably some pretty terrible ways, too.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Yep. Oh, no. I have no idea what I'm waiting for. I'm just looking at you.
I don't know.
And you're just going on. I like it though. You're filling a dead space. That's great. The Counselor, really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great movie, I'm sure. I hope. It better be.
With the amount of...
With the cast and the writer and the director, all that put together, if it comes out to a subpar film, I don't know what I'm going to do, Drew.
I'm probably going to line them up each one by one and shoot them in the face.
Oh, wow. Well, we at Cinema Crossbody so officially do not condone murdering or vengeance. But Drew Sikagra and his opinions are free on his own accord and do what he will. So the Counselor better be good for their sakes.
Yeah, or I'm going to need a counselor.
That was kind of cheesy.
Also coming out this week, Bad Grandpa. Well, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
Yeah, that's weird. Jackass Presents. It's like American Pie Presents. You notice how they do that now with direct-to-video movies you see on Netflix? American Pie Presents...
some crap.
People getting drunk at school. Part 4. Frat boys and a half. Frat boys and a half. It's about a little person fraternity.
You thought what I said was lame. That was lame.
It's nothing beats Dr. Magnets.
And what about this 12 Years a Slave nonsense? When are we getting this?
I don't know. It came out in a few theaters, and the per-screen average isn't too hot. It did okay. Kind of a soft opening for what they were hoping for when it comes to the word of mouth for the movie out of the festivals and how much the critics loved it. It's not really translating. You know, it's not a Gravity situation. It's mm-hmm. more of a reverse. So we might get it in a week or two. I wouldn't be surprised if we get it, like, post-Halloween.
Okay.
Maybe November, first week of November.
Word.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I can deal with that.
I got
stuff to tide me over. I got video games to play.
Though if it does come out around Halloween, it would make for a good horror movie.
Ooh.
Who goes to the scene?
Hey, yeah.
The horrors of American history.
Yes.
Take that, people. Think about that for a while.
That's a pretty terrible thing.
Think about that for a minute. So yeah, that's it. Bad Grandpa and the Counselor, huh?
Yep.
All right, well, Counselor it is. I guess Bad Grandpa could be funny.
Yeah, it could be funny, but not movie theater funny. I'm talking like small screen. I mean, it's once again.
Seems that way.
It's one of those things.
Seems that way. We'll see what happens next weekend. We'll see what shakes down.
I'm not wasting $6.50 on Bad Grandpa.
Okay, well, let it be known, Jackass. Jackass Presents. Let's take a break. Let's go into the Crustable Disco. I got a few songs queued up here. This is from the Master soundtrack by Joe Stafford. It's a song called No Other Love. You hear that? Biscuits are ready.
Delicious biscuits.
Biscuits are ready. No Other Love by Joe Stafford from the Master soundtrack. And then followed it up with a little bit of Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
From the Inception soundtrack. A choice cut from there. 528491.
Sweet.
That's the name of the song. Bunch of numbers. I'm sure if you've seen Inception, people know what those numbers are. Do you remember the numbers, Drew? 528491?
Nope.
No? You need to see it again then. So here you go. We're taking a break. Needed another beer. Drew's got to fill up his Orangina bottle with more vodka. So we'll be right back with the second half of episode 41. 41.
41, what is it? Question? Across what he said. We're in the middle of recording and you still don't know what episode number we're in. That's awesome.
I should write this down.
No other love can warm my heart find with you every time, every time. No other lips could want you more, for I was born. Blessed with love to love you till the stars burn out above you.
This is Richard Cockburn. I believe in leprechauns.
Welcome to the Crespo Code.
Welcome back to the second half of episode 41 of Cinema Crespo. So I wrote it down.
Good job.
Episode 41. Won't forget this time. That's XL1 for you Roman numeral aficionados.
So like extra large one?
Extra large one. That's what they should do instead of XXL and XXX.
XL1, XL2.
I think that would be more sensitive to the fat community.
Instead of just extra large. Instead of extra, extra large. Right. Just extra large one.
Right. Once you get to triple X, why don't you just say super fat? This shirt is SF.
Super fat.
This shirt is YO for you're obese. That's 4X.
4X is YO.
One time when I was really young, I bought a super cheap polo shirt, like pullover at Kmart, at a big K. It was a 5X. Because it was like, you know, baggy clothes were in. So I bought a 5X. Didn't work. A little too baggy.
Too baggy.
I was swimming in that shit. It was ridiculous.
I could see that.
You could see that?
Little Chris in a 5X.
Little Chris in a 5X? I'm never really that little. Well, let's get some plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com, Twitter.com/IamChrisCrespo.
Are you?
Twitter.com/CrespoDiso. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso.
Anything else? You have a Tumblr yet?
I do have a Tumblr, but I don't use it. Not at all. I don't use it at all.
Period. Like, at all.
Don't remember the name of it. I think it's called Making Machines Out of Water. Think about that one.
It's pretty deep, Chris.
Why don't you plug your shit, Drew? Plug it up.
At Antera419.
On the Twitters.
And same on Instagram.
And everywhere. Just follow him. Just find him. Tweet him. We almost got you to 50 Twitter followers.
Almost.
Trying to get you to 50. Let's get this guy to 50, people. Follow him. Tweet him. Say, what's up, Drew? And he'll tweet you back. He's like a magic 8-ball, but with disdain.
Lots of it. And like you know how most magic 8-balls are filled with that weird blue liquid?
Yes.
Yes, that's my filled with disdain. And the tears of the innocent.
And the tears of the innocent. And also, I want to plug, even though it's not our show, it's still, you know, I guess can we call them like a sister show now or a network sister show?
I don't know. I think that's kind of putting us a little high.
You think it's putting us a little high up there? But we are related now on the SRN.
We are related.
So SBK Live, flagship show, putting on the SBK Live Halloween Bash on October 31st. On Halloween night, Thursday, it's at the Why Not Lounge.
We're going to be there.
We're going to be there.
We're going to be dressed up.
We're going to be dressed up.
We're going to have costumes.
We're going to have costumes. We're going to be dressed up. This is going to be one of your very few opportunities to see us out in public making asses of ourselves.
Oh, it's going to be a good time too.
This is gonna be a good time. So Why Not Lounge, Altamont Springs in Florida. It's connected to a Howard Johnson hotel.
Hojo.
So it's a pretty good hotel chain. They have a deal. You can get a room if you go to that party. You can get a room for $50 for a night at a Hojo. It's pretty good if you ask me. The deal comes with free drink at happy hour from 5 to 7.
Sweet.
And free breakfast in the morning.
Awesome.
So you can get some cornflakes and a dry croissant.
I love my dry croissants.
It'll be awesome because it'll be,
and
you'll
my
be
soggy floppy bacon.
The thing is, you'll be who knows if they'll have that. I was thinking continental breakfast.
Ah, yes, cereal.
Where it's always cereal, and yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know, they didn't say exactly what it is, so I'm not gonna say something bigger, but it's not, you know, probably just old donuts. The cool thing is, you'll be able to enjoy all these wonderful refreshments with other SBK Live Halloween Bash revelers all nursing our hangovers together.
Oh man, you know, I hope some people forget to bring a change of clothes.
So they have to.
So you'll have like the slutty nurse at 10 o'clock in the morning eating breakfast.
Oh boy. Bring a change of clothes, people. It's going to be a good time. So SBK Live Halloween Bash, we're going to be there, so you be there too. Halloween night. All right. Let's get the show started.
Wait, so we haven't started the show yet?
No, yeah, we're just going to get started right now.
What the hell have I been doing for the last 45 minutes?
Warm up.
Tricked me again, Chris.
We're going to start with some movie news. I got a whole bunch of, it's not just movie news. Actually, I might as well just expand it to entertainment news. Because I have some Breaking Bad stuff in here.
Oh.
I want to talk about.
But Breaking Bad's over.
Yeah, but still. We're still talking about it.
But it's over.
That's how good it is. We're still talking about it.
There's no more.
Anthony Hopkins writes Breaking Bad fan letter to Bryan Cranston.
Oh, damn.
Got this. This is all over the internet. I got this one off HuffPo, the old HuffPost. Acting legend Anthony Hopkins recently binge-watched Breaking Bad and was so impressed he wrote a letter to Bryan Cranston. This is funny. The letter first surfaced on Reddit and was reportedly shared by Breaking Bad actor Stephen Michael Quesada, the guy who played Gomez.
Okay.
It was reportedly shared by him on Facebook, although it appears to have later been deleted. So he put it up on Facebook. Someone nabbed it, put it on Reddit, and it got out there. And then they confirmed with Hopkins representatives that this letter is legit. So it wasn't supposed to be out there. It was supposed to be an internal thing. But old Gomez, old Gomi.
Good job, Gomez.
He let it out of the bag. So you ready to hear this letter? Here
yes.
You go. Dear Mr. Cranston, I wanted to write you this email. Okay, so it's an email. So I am contacting you through Jeremy Barber. I take it we're both represented by UTA Great Agency. That's interesting that, you know, that's how these guys get connected.
Oh, nice.
through their own agencies. Blah, 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 blah. I just finished a marathon of watching Breaking Bad. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's better. A total of 2 weeks. He watched everything over 2 weeks.
Okay, good for him. He's a binge watcher just like the rest of us.
I have never watched anything like it. Brilliant. Your performance as Walter White was the best acting I have ever seen.
Excuse me?
That's his emphasis, too. I know there is so much smoke blowing and sickening bullshit in this business, and I've sort of lost belief in anything, really. But this work of yours is spectacular. Absolutely stunning. What is extraordinary is the sheer power of everyone in the entire production. What was it, 5 or 6 years in the making? How the producers, the writers, directors, cinematographers, every department, casting, etc., managed to keep the discipline and control from beginning to end. Is that overword used? Awesome. So he loved it.
Awesome.
He loved it. From what started as a black comedy, descended into a labyrinth of blood, destruction, and hells, a great Jacobean, Shakespearean, or Greek tragedy. If you ever get a chance, would you please pass on my admiration to everyone, Anna Gunn, Dean Norris, Aaron Paul, Betsy Brandt, R.J. Mitt, Bob Odenkirk, Jonathan Banks, Stephen Michael Quesada, everyone gave master classes of performance, the list is endless. So that's why Quesada even got, you know,
yeah.
It's like, bro, you want to see this, your name checked by Anthony Hopkins. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to put this on Facebook. And then later he's like, dude, now everyone knows. We're trying to be cool about it, man. Thank you. That kind of work artistry is rare, and once in a while it occurs, as in this epic work, it restores confidence. You and all the cast are best actors I've ever seen. May sound like a good lung full of smoke blowing, but it is not. It's almost midnight out here in Malibu, and I felt compelled to write this email. Congratulations, and my deepest respect. You are truly a great, great actor. Best regards, Tony Hopkins.
Is that his name, Tony?
Yeah, he's a Tony.
Man.
He's a Tony. Doesn't look like a Tony, does he?
He looks like a Sir Anthony.
Looks like a Sir Anthony, but he's a Tony. So there you go. Anthony Hopkins loves Breaking Bad so much he thinks it's the greatest thing ever, and that Bryan Cranston's performance as Walter White is the greatest thing ever put to film.
That's awesome.
Yeah?
That's awesome.
I mean, when it comes from Anthony Hopkins.
You know, seriously, that's pretty good chops.
So there you go. That's that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Hey, you came during the middle of a couple. Hey, you weren't interrupted this time.
Good job. That's a nice placement.
That works out. That sound means one another thing. It's time for some Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn, Juicy Cogburn versus the world. I figured we need
a theme song
or something. So
okay.
There you go. There's your song. Not even too sure exactly why I decided to go this route, but I did. It sounded like fun. The name of this game is called What's That Stank? Oh, it's just all those video game movies. That's the name of the game. What's That Stank?
There's a lot of them.
Oh, it's just all those video game movies. I'm going to give you the video game-based film. You tell me which one has a higher Rotten Tomato score.
Oh, wow, this is going to be rough.
All right, so here we go. I got 10 sets of movies here, so it's pretty much almost every single one ever made. Awesome. So here we go. All right, Drew. It's just a sparring round, so no pressure. Number one, which has a higher Rotten Tomato score, Super Mario Brothers or Doom? Both horrible films.
They are.
Horrible, horrible films.
God, they're... Oh. Doom.
Doom has a Rotten Tomato score of 19%. Super Mario Brothers, 16%. So Doom is correct. Does have a higher score. Good job.
Wow.
Good job. So which one has a higher score between these two movies? Resident Evil or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Both directed by the same guy. You think Mortal Kombat has a higher score? Resident Evil has a 34% rating.
Wow, that's high.
Mortal Kombat has a 33% rating. Oh. Practically the same, but just not quite. Number three, which has a higher score, Silent Hill or Lara Croft Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider.
Silent Hill has a 29% score, whereas Lara Croft has a 19% score. So Silent Hill is better reviewed. I would have gone Lara Croft too, to be honest.
Ah, man.
Number four, which has a higher score on the Rotten Tomatoes, Double Dragon or Street Fighter?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter has a 12% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But Double Dragon has a 0% rating. So Street Fighter is correct. Good job, dude. Good job.
Wow.
And number five, which has a higher score, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within, or Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time?
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy has a 44%. And Prince of Persia has a 35%. So that's correct.
Well, that Final Fantasy movie, it's all CG.
It's all CG. And it's also the highest rated video game based movie out there. So you won't see another number higher than 44%. All right, so far, let's see. You are you got three right and two wrong. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. Moving on to the next set. Which has a higher score, House of the Dead or Hitman?
Hitman.
Hitman has a 14% score. House of the Dead has a 4% score.
I thought Hitman was better than 14.
Did you? More like a 16?
Man, maybe. Yeah, maybe 17.
Max Payne.
Oh.
Or Blood Rain.
Oh.
They rhyme. Which has a higher Rotten Tomato score? Max Payne or Blood Rain?
Max Payne
has a 16% score. Blood Rain has a 4% score, so that's correct. All right, number three, Battle of the Sequels, which has a higher score, Silent Hill Revelation, or Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life?
Cradle of Life.
Silent Hill Revelation had a 6% score. 6%. Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life had a 24% score.
Nice.
There you go.
I mean, terrible, but nice.
Number four, which has a higher score, more sequels, Resident Evil, Apocalypse, or Mortal Kombat, Annihilation.
Apocalypse.
Resident Evil Apocalypse has a 21% score, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, 6%. So there you go, you're doing good on this one. And number five, finally, which has a higher score, two Dr. Uwe Boll films, Alone in the Dark, or Postal?
Postal.
Postal has a 7% score. Alone in the Dark has a 1% score on the Rotten Tomatoes. So you got all the last five there. 8 out of 10 correct, dude.
Postal was an amazing game.
But how about as a movie?
No, awful.
And my tiebreaker, if we had someone, I guess, but we don't. How much did Super Mario Brothers make at the U.S. box office?
$30 million.
$20.9 million.
That's what a hunk of shit that movie was.
That was this week, Drewster's Cogburns. Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Good job, Drew.
Drewster's Cogburns. So I have plural Cogburns now.
There's multiple Drewsters and multiple. It's like Looper.
It blew my mind, Chris.
Mind blown. Back to entertainment news. Breaking Bad's Vince Gilligan reveals details of Saw spinoff and terror over what's next. Vince Gilligan, the it boy of the moment in Hollywood, off the heels of the runaway success of Breaking Bad, got a cover story on Hollywood Reporter magazine. And I just want to point out a couple things here in this little interview. He did cry when he wrote end of series on the script, on the final screenplay.
Oh, isn't that cute?
He cried.
What a badge.
Yeah. Well, he is a writer. He's very sensitive. Writers are sensitive people. They at one point concerning what he has to do next. Now he has to follow up Breaking Bad because he has a couple things in the hopper. You know, it's the same thing that faced Damon Lindelof when Lost finished, Aaron Sorkin when West Wing finished. Now it's Vince Gilligan. He says, it scares me. The odds of winning the lottery 2 weeks in a row are pretty infinitesimal. Infinitesimal.
Yes. Big word.
User word. You know, he wrote on X-Files for a while.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He wrote on X-Files, and he was pretty popular as a writer for X-Files. He even wrote a couple episodes, himself. And when X-Files finished, he wanted to take a quick break, like a year-long break to do whatever, and then get back to writing. And then he found that after he took that year break, people already forgot about him. And he had to kind of start over from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So now with Breaking Bad over, he ain't waiting.
No break.
He ain't waiting. I wanted to point out, where is the stuff here? So one of the things he's doing is Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Spinoff on the show. He says here, there's obviously danger inherent in doing a spinoff, but I just love the character of Saul Goodman so much, and part of me doesn't want to say no to this world. You know what? He did a spinoff of an X-Files show.
Really?
Did you know there was a spinoff of an X-Files show called The Lone Gunman? Got the axe after 13 episodes.
Sounds terrible.
So Gilligan is no stranger to the spinoff. And he says, as for the look of Better Call Saul, he says it's going to look like Breaking Bad. Like, they're going to try to shoot it as much the same way as possible. He says, we figured, why not shoot Saul in the same way? Let's shoot it in Albuquerque. Let's get as much of the crew back together as possible. Let's do it the way we did it before, so that will be a piece of that pre-existing fictional universe that we had so much fun in creating. So if Breaking Bad was 75% dramatic and 25% comedic, Better Call Saul will be the opposite.
Okay, so more comedy. Well, I mean, it's Odenkirk. Bob Odenkirk's a
funny guy. And it's a funny character, Saul Goodman. Yeah. So it's going to be more comedy, but it's a little bit of drama in there. Apparently, if AMC passed on Better Call Saul, Netflix, WGN America, and FX are among some of the networks that were ready to pick up the bill to make Better Call Saul happen. So that show is going to happen one way or the other.
Yep.
AMC had the first stab at it, and in this case, they were smart enough, I guess, to jump on it. Also, both Cranston and Aaron Paul, in addition to some of Bad's other actors, have expressed interest in making appearances, and Gilligan intends to make that happen. Personally, I have a hard time resisting putting all these guys in for a cameo or two every now and then. So, expect a Walter White cameo at some point.
Yeah, like, you know, showing up on jury duty or something.
Something. The paths are going to have to cross somehow, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I could see Pinkman maybe being, how did they, I even forget how they met Saul.
Because of his face all over billboards and bus stops and everything. Better Call Saul. And it wasn't pointing. I think that was it. Gilligan says he envisions being in the writer's room full time, at least for the first season, and already is slated to direct the pilot.
Nice.
So he's involved kind of heavily in Better Call Saul. His first test, however, come with his police drama, Battle Creek. He wrote and developed the hour-long entry a decade ago for CBS. So he wrote a police drama a decade ago, came up with it. CBS passed. Now that Vince Gilligan's big shit, CBS dusted it off their shelf and said, we're going to make this.
Sounds terrible.
Right? See how that goes. The network has made a rare 13-episode straight-to-series commitment as opposed to going with a pilot. And House creator David Shore has been brought aboard to write, produce, and run. So even though Vince Gilligan came up with the show, the guy who did House, he's going to run Battle Creek. So it's gonna end up being his show.
Yeah.
It's Vince Gilligan's idea. It's like Michael Crichton's ER.
Yes.
He came up with ER, but he didn't run the show.
Yeah.
And Gilligan would like to add a few films next with an eye toward a Western. You know how I feel about that, Drew?
You love Westerns.
I love Westerns. And Breaking Bad was shot in the desert.
Yep.
It's kind of Western-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's only a little bit out of this article. It's actually a pretty good interview. A lot of little things in here about people he's known and different things and Soderbergh and, X-Files days and all that stuff. So check that out, Hollywood Reporter. There you go. Get that out of here. And finally, speaking of AMC.
What about them?
You know, they just had their, with The Walking Dead premiere. 16 million?
Seriously?
16 million viewers. The highest rated show ever on cable network TV. Like, it blew all the records out. Despite that, AMC itself is a zombie network, as put forward in this article by Andy Greenwald for Grantland. They are the Walking Dead, the AMC, literally.
Okay.
This is why. Walking Dead season premiere drew a staggering 60 million viewers, which means half of the audience in advertiser-craved 18 to 49 age range was watching the Walking Dead premiere.
Uh-huh.
So that's a lot of money for them. But here's the problem. Breaking Bad is gone for good.
Forever.
The Killing is finally dead. Hell on Wheels came grinding to an ugly halt. And then in parentheses, if a show falls on a Saturday night, does anyone hear the answer? No. And Low Winter Sun set so disastrously that daylight seems further away than ever. Pretty much reviews for all these shows are in the absolute toilet.
Yeah, this season's Hell on Wheels was,
not good?
Yeah.
No one watched it either.
Yeah.
And they moved it to Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
That's not good.
I mean, I watched on DVR anyway, so.
Despite the frantic goalpost moving of a cynical network, Mad Men will have to end someday. So all these shows are ending, and the problem is AMC has nothing in the hopper. And this Grantland article is really good. I definitely recommend people check it out. It goes into how they lucked out with Breaking Bad and Mad Men, because those are shows developed by other people, and then AMC just brought them on. And then when AMC tried to do their own stuff,
it failed.
It's always been failing. They tried their first foray with their own series was Rubicon. Did you see any of that?
No.
That totally bombed. And what are they working on? Now the shows that they're working on sound just horrible. Just horrible.
I mean, Hell on Wheels wasn't bad in the beginning.
Yeah, but no one's watching it.
It's because it's not good anymore.
No one's watched it. They have two pilots in production for 2014. Turn is a period piece about spies during the Revolutionary War. Johnny Tremaine meets Mission Impossible. I don't know. Sounds bad, right?
Lame.
Halt and Catch Fire is also set in the past, but it's blah, 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 blah. Wait, come on, where's the... It's set in Texas, go-go, Silicon Prairie of the early 80s. Doesn't really tell us much about it.
Texas in the 80s sounds awful.
Texas in the 80s. So all they have pretty much is Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad spinoff show. And did you know they're doing a Walking Dead spinoff show?
Don't care.
Well, they're doing one, though. That's all their eggs are in that basket. They're doing a Walking Dead spinoff where it's going to be a whole other group of people in the same world, but like in a different part of the world. So instead of in Georgia, it's going to be like in some city somewhere. And it's about those people trying to survive. So that's AMC spinning their wheels. Spinning their wheels. They're going to be in some trouble pretty soon. I'm just scanning this to see if there's anything else to note real quick. But they
nope.
All right. Hey, remember that new episode of South Park that just came out, Drew?
Oh, you mean the one that didn't make it because of the power outage?
South Park blows deadline for first time ever. As you said, it's because of a power outage. 240 episodes, Drew. It's the first time they missed a deadline.
Yep.
It was a 3-hour power outage on Tuesday, the day before. So I guess it just put them back so far that they couldn't finish. It couldn't make up the time.
Yeah.
Or was it it was 3 hours on Tuesday. The show airs on Wednesday. I don't know why it pushed out like that. But anyway, that new episode will air on Wednesday. The streak is over for their names, Trey and Matt.
Well, that's what they Parker get for doing it the way they do.
They've been doing it that way for a long time. Something like 6 or 7 seasons. To movies, Michael Bay is shooting Transformers 4 in Hong Kong.
And we care because...
A few days ago, the interwebs blew up with a story about how a man with an air conditioner attacked Michael Bay on set of the movie.
That's pretty cool.
Man with an air conditioner.
Did the air conditioner transform into a giant robot?
No, it did not.
Oh, terrible.
It did not. There were early reports that a man attacked Michael Bay with an air conditioner. Michael Bay wrestled away from him, and then he fought with the man for a minute or two or whatever before security came and took the guy away. Michael Bay has his own website, and he likes posting things on there. So he has put up a little post about it, explaining it from his own fingertips. He writes, Hi, it's Michael. Yes, the story is being passed around is not all true. Some drugged up guys are being belligerent asses to my crew for hours in the morning of our first shoot day in Hong Kong. So it's their first day of shooting. One guy rolled metal carts into some of my actors trying to shake us down for thousands of dollars to not play his loud music or hit us with bricks. It's kind of dickish.
Yeah.
Every vendor where we shot got paid a fair price for our inconvenience, but he wanted four times that amount. I personally told this man and his friends to forget it. We were not going to let him extort us. He didn't like that answer, so an hour later he came by my crew as we were shooting, carrying a long air conditioner unit. He walked right up to me and tried to smack my face, but I ducked through the air unit on the floor and pushed him away. That's when the security jumped on him. Now, this is weird. It took seven big guys to subdue him. It was like a zombie in Brad Pitt's movie World War Z. I like how he name checked that in there. It's kind of weird.
Nice.
He lifted seven guys up and tried to bite them. He actually bit into one of the guards' Nike shoe. Insane. Thank God it was an Air Max. The bubble popped, but the toe was saved. Then it took 15 Hong Kong cops in riot gear to deal with these punks. And all four guys were arrested for assaulting the officers. After that, we had a great day shooting here in Hong Kong. The place couldn't be better.
Maybe they're on that crocodile, bro.
Yeah, maybe they are on that crocodile trying to get that that heroin that eats you from the inside out.
Yeah.
That fake heroin. Probably not. These guys sound like they're on those amphetamines or something. But there you go. So Michael Bay is safe. Thank goodness. We're still going to get our Transformers 4.
Yeah, I know you're really excited about that.
The Queen of Pop banned from movie theaters after reportedly texting during 12 Years a Slave.
And who's the Queen of Pop?
Madonna, yo.
Oh.
Madonna. Blah, 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 blah. Pretty much what happened was there was a special screening of 12 Years a Slave, and a film critic who was there reported a story about how during the movie, someone was using their phone. They were texting, so they tried to get him to stop texting. Like, excuse me, will you stop? And this person, this blonde, turned around and said, "It's for business, enslaver."
Seriously?
During the screening of 12 Years a Slave. So it was just topical. It was just front of mind for old Madonna. But someone told her to stop texting. She said, "It's for business, enslaver." And after the movie was over, it was found out that it was Madonna. And when this all happened at an Alamo Drafthouse, which is an awesome theater chain that started in Austin, Texas, and is now becoming national, and hopefully we'll be getting one soon. I think we are.
Okay, so what happens to the Alamo Drafthouse?
Alamo Drafthouse is super strict on texting during movies and talking. They do not hesitate to kick your ass out of the theater if there's any complaints.
Okay.
It's pretty awesome. Very excited for them to get here, actually. And they're kind of upscale, too, a little bit with the food service and the drinks and the whatnot.
I was about to say, they better have beer with a name like the Draft House.
Yes, oh yeah, exactly. That's the point. The CEO is this dude named Tim League, and he's been spearheading this whole, you know, shut the fuck up during movie theaters thing. And he tweeted, "Until she apologizes to movie fans, Madonna is banned from watching movies at Draft House."
Nice.
And since it's a tweet, it's official.
I love it.
So there you go. And then someone tried to give Tim League shit on the Twitter for it. And he said, "It really is just a joke, but I like bringing the issue to the fore. But still, Madonna, you are a bitch." And people, really, stop texting during a movie. And don't be using the word enslaver. Enslaver? Seriously. What the hell is that all about?
She's just as white as the rest of us.
Talk about like white entitlement privilege overload. Because I want you to put your goddamn phone away, I'm an enslaver. What the hypocrisy of a white person. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Check that out, Drew. Look at that picture. Speaking of comfortable theaters, AMC is converting a whole bunch of their theaters.
Really?
Around their country. You see those big, huge, comfortable leather chairs that recline like Lazy Boys, and the gigantic armrest? AMCs are doing that now. A lot of them are—they're calling them the ones that you eat in at. Or not that you eat in, but you can get food and you can get like service at your chair if you hit a button.
Mm-hmm.
And the ticket prices aren't that much higher.
I'll pay extra for chairs like that.
It's only a couple bucks more. They're also assigned seats. When you buy your ticket, you know exactly where you're going to sit.
Do I have a choice?
When you buy your ticket, you get to see what's available. Like, for example, my parents recently, there's a theater just like that In Jersey. I've been there. It's super nice. I saw Les Mis there in a theater like that. In a theater that only sat like 60 people.
Yeah.
Super small theater. And they just used it to see Enough Said, the James Gandolfini, Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie. And they said when they pulled up the thing to buy their tickets, the whole theater was open.
Nice.
Not a single ticket was sold, so they had their pick of where they wanted to sit. So this article in the New York Times, the screen is silver, but the seats are gold. It's all about these kind of enhancements to theaters, trying to get people to come back. As far as AMC, in the 25 or so theaters converted so far, with many more to come, the company has, on average, destroyed a stunning 64% of seating capacity, and yet lifted attendance by 84%, according to documents filed with the SEC.
So less seating space, more moviegoers.
More moviegoers, because the seats are that much more comfortable. And the experience is that much more enticing for people to check out.
Interesting.
Value added. This article also does go on to talk about a couple other theater chains making enhancements. This is interesting. The recliners do belong to a larger crop of innovations worldwide. In Mumbai, theaters offer waiter service to your seat. And we got theaters
at the end.
And I don't know the draft house. Well, actually, is that to the table? Yeah, they bring out the pizza, don't they? In Tokyo, it's loose chairs that can be rearranged. In Mexico City, it's something called the X4D Motion EFX system, which can enhance a movie by blasting air and mist at you, rolling your seat around in tandem with the on-screen drama, tickling your legs with a little rod, and poking shiatsu like into your back. So it's like a theme park chair ride type thing.
Sounds terrible.
You think it sounds terrible? It sounds like fun. They'll spray mist at you.
I don't like it.
A version of it can be found at the Legoland Discovery Center in Yonkers. So our New York listeners can go to Yonkers and check that out. The Regal Theater chain has introduced a premium service called RPX, which involves leather seats and a larger screen. It's available at the Regal Ewok Stadium 13 and RPX near Times Square. So again, New York listeners, which we have plenty of.
Yes, we do.
Check them out, guys. Check out those theaters. Report back. Tell us what you think about the Regal RPX or the AMC. Does it say which AMC this person went to?
I don't know. Billy D, get on it.
Billy D, get on it. Billy D, get on it. No, doesn't say. Well, there you go. New theaters. Swanky seats. More amenities. That's how you get people back in the theaters, Drew.
Make it nice.
That and, you know, good movies.
Yeah, as we've seen, some people really don't care about if the movie's good or not.
That's true. That's true. Darren Aronofsky, Paramount, spar over Noah, Final Cut.
Sweet.
This is from The Hollywood Reporter. The auteur and the studio are at odds over the final cut of a $125 million biblical epic plagued by troubling reactions from audiences in New York. They put parentheses, largely Jewish. Arizona, parentheses, Christian. And Orange County, California, parentheses, general public, a.k.a. The hellbound of America.
Yes.
Those who live in California. Shout out to our Californian listeners. We have a bunch of those as well. How's it going, California?
See you guys in hell.
You guys are 3 hours behind us. We'll see you in hell 3 hours after we get there. Is that how that works, too?
Yes.
So pretty much Darren Aronofsky, he of aforementioned Requiem for a Dream fame, as well as Pi, wrestler, and then more popularly, Black Swan made like $300 million worldwide,
Fountain,
which is ridiculous. And The Fountain. Yeah, The Fountain's one I'm missing. He's using his clout to make a Noah movie. It's super expensive. He got Paramount to fit the bill, and now Paramount's freaking out because people are like, what the hell is this? This is a crazy movie.
I could see that.
Looks like reading this article, one of the problems is that he kind of took a lot of the religion out of it, I think, and then he just made Noah into an environmentalist. He's been on record as calling Noah the first environmentalist.
Ugh.
And did a lot of screenings where some people were like, oh, what the hell? Apparently there's also made-up animals.
Sweet.
And every single animal in the movie is CG.
That's kind of gay.
It's going to look weird. It's going to look weird. It's going to be his first really, really heavy effects movie outside of The Fountain. The Fountain had a lot of effects, but this is going to dwarf The Fountain in terms of size. So now other people are freaking out about some of the audience reactions.
Did you just say that?
What?
How could it dwarfing The Fountain in size? It spans. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of production, I mean, they made two arcs. One of them is on the water. They made an arc on the water.
That's a big boat.
Those are big boats. That's epic.
Can we get bigger boats?
Oh, does it get bigger than the arc? I guess it gets bigger than the arc. It's got to fit a lot of animals, dude. It's got to fit a lot of animals. A lot of animals. Blah, 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 blah. In July, Aronofsky screened NOAA footage for the church-based Echo conference in Texas. Some tweets from the audience members suggested that the sneak peek was well-received. That's just footage. That's not the whole movie. So we'll see. While Aronofsky, quote, definitely wants some level of independence, some guy says, he also wants a hit movie. The bottom line, we're getting to a very good place, and we're getting there with Darren. So I guess that's a paranormal thing.
Get there, Darren.
So we're going to be getting this big crazy Noah movie. I hope it's not a piece of shit, but it just may be. Starring Russell Crowe
as Noah.
As Noah. And Tony Hopkins as Methuselah.
Nice.
The world's oldest
good
man.
Good job, Tony.
The world's oldest man. So we got some questions from the old Twitter, and then let's get these next. Actually, no. Before I do that, I don't do this. Because you mentioned Billy D.
Yes.
I asked Billy D to give us his top five Halloween movies. Because
nice.
He's very much a horror movie guy.
Yes, he is.
He knows more about horror than both of us combined.
Oh, yeah.
So he's the guy that we go to for this. So let's see. I'm pulling up his email now. Billy D's Choose Your Own Halloween Film Festival.
Sweet.
I haven't read this yet, so here we go. Howdy, boils and ghouls.
Uh-huh.
Your best fiend here.
Uh-huh.
For a ghastly Halloween Fright Fest, pick five of the 10 films below. Tweet me at ILoveBlood to let me know how your Halloween Film Fest went. All right, so here we go. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's giving us 10 movies plus a bonus. Thinking, guess what any of these movies are, Andrew?
No.
Could not even want to take a shot?
Nope.
Pick any of these following films from Billy D's list and make your own Halloween Film Festival. Here we go. Nightbreed.
Okay.
You haven't seen it?
Nope.
Martyrs.
Nope.
French film. Very brutal. The Thing.
Yes.
The Thing is great.
Awesome.
Everyone loves The Thing. Brain Dead, a.k.a. Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good one. Grave Encounters.
Uh-huh.
Lake Mungo.
Interesting.
Never even heard of that one. Dawn of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't specify which. I'm going to go ahead and say he's saying the original. But the remake is good, too.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Final Destination, parentheses, any/all of these will do.
Okay.
I can't even pronounce this one. Norai? Noroi? N-O-R-O-I. Noroi, colon, The Curse. So it's a sequel to the first Noroi. It was Noroi, The Curse.
Sounds Asian.
And finally, it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Awesome.
And bonus, Halloween 1978 version, the original.
Oh, yeah. Good one, too.
From these movies, if I had to pick a film festival, I would go The Thing, Dawn of the Dead, and Charlie Brown, and then Halloween. But I'm predictable like that when it comes to Halloween movies. Thanks, Billy D's. There you go. That's our New York City senior correspondent and Halloween expert, Billy D. Again, follow him at I Love Twitter. Not only I Love Twitter. I Love Twitter. But follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood.
I Love Blood.
And then tweet him at I Love Blood. And tell him which Halloween movies you decided to watch. Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. Thanks, Billy.
Good job.
We appreciate that. All right, so let's see. We got questions here on the Twitter. At. See, now I'm not sure how to say this one. A.K.A. Right. D-I-M-I-X. Like, I could be. I should have to say that. A.K.A. Demi X. Dimix?
I don't know.
Favorite summer movie?
Academics.
Favorite summer movie? Favorite anticipated movie for the rest of the year? So what was your favorite summer movie?
When did the summer end?
Labor Day. I'm thinking Pacific Rim, Elysium, Man of Steel, This is the End, The World's End.
This is the end for comedy, Pacific Rim for, I guess, everything else.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Pacific Rim was a lot of fun.
And how about most anticipated movie for the rest of the year?
Oh, man.
Right now, the one I'm waiting for the most might not even come out this year. the Wolf of Wall Street, Martin Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
That might end up, it's not done yet, and they're trying to get it done in time for its release date.
Oh, really?
So first they're pushing that back from the week before Thanksgiving to, or right before Thanksgiving to Christmas. If they can't make that Christmas date, it might get pushed all the way to next fall.
Yeah.
So that would suck.
And I'm really looking forward to The Counselor.
Yeah, that's coming out soon.
Also, American Hustle.
American Hustle, yes.
And what's the other one with Christian Bale? Out of the Furnace, that one too. That one looks
Out of the Furnace
good as well.
That does look good, Out of the Furnace. Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
The Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that. So there you go. At Mike Seven Deuce, our man in Detroit.
Yes, sir.
Tom Selleck versus Burt Reynolds. Two chest froze enter. Only one leaves. And then you put hashtag acting, hashtag fighting, hashtag chest hair. So I think he wants a third chest hair battle in there. For...
Hashtag battle of the mustaches.
Yeah, they both do have legendary mustaches. So let's start at the beginning. Acting. Selleck versus Reynolds. What do you got? What are you thinking? Reynolds was huge in the 70s. Like, the biggest thing going. When he was big in the 70s, he was the biggest. You know? Like, it's one thing to be kind of popular during that time, but he was, like, it. Meanwhile, Tom Selleck, pretty big in the 80s. Magnum P.I., 70s, 80s.
All those movies.
He was almost Indiana Jones, but he couldn't get out of his Magnum P.I. contract.
I say he was quickly down under.
Quickly down under is awesome. He was Mr. Baseball.
He was Mr. Baseball.
But Burt Reynolds is Smoking Bandit.
Yeah.
Right? No. And Cannonball Run.
No.
Right? Anything crazy and related to cars in the 70s had Burt Reynolds in it?
Pretty
a cowboy
much.
Hat and a mustache.
Yep. And he's even crazy now.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But Tom Selleck was Ike Eisenhower. He shaved his mustache for that.
You're right, he was.
He was Ike. And then he's got those Jesse Stone movies that I think are like made for TNT and then come out on DVD.
Yeah.
I've never seen that anymore. It's just nice to see Tom Selleck still working.
Yeah.
I think as an actor, I would have to go with Tom Selleck. I think he's a better actor. Reynolds, never really that great of an actor. He's more of just a charismatic dude.
Of sorts.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you.
Well, if they fought today, who would... Those are some old men fighting. Are they both still alive? Yeah, they're both still alive. I would have to go with crazy right-wing Tom Selleck because I'm going to assume that Burt Reynolds is more liberal left-wing, which makes him soft. And Tom Selleck is the type of, like, you know...
Does Tom Selleck still have the mustache?
I think he does. If he doesn't have to do something, like, shoot something without a mustache, he still has it. And then he's all like, I love my guns.
If he's got it, if he's got the mustache, then he wins the fight.
All right. Chest hair.
Neither of them have chest hair anymore.
Chest hair battle now.
And, doesn't exist.
How about chest hair in the 70s and 80s? Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, definitely.
Burt Reynolds chest hair. All right. At Uncool Girl Jen on Twitter wants to know, what is your favorite Spike Lee film? Spike Lee. He's got a bunch of them. Old Boy remake coming out soon. Drew's thinking. I'm thinking, I mean, I go obvious again and just say Do the Right Thing because it's such a great movie.
Yeah, it really is.
Inside Man's good. It's one of the least Spike Lee-ish movies of all his movies, but it's still good. Good movie to watch. There's Malcolm X. There's Girl 6. Bamboozled. Jungle Fever. School Days. A lot of Spike Lee movies. Miracle at Santa Ana. Santa Ana.
Actually, I think I'm gonna go with Inside Man.
Inside Man? You're gonna go Inside Man?
Well, I'm gonna go with the least Spike Lee of them all.
The least Spike Lee-ish of them all?
Yeah.
Word. I'm gonna go with Do the Right Thing, the most Spike Lee of them all. Because it's just about race.
Yep.
Straight up.
That's it.
And how hot I got that one day in Brooklyn. At Matt Celery. We're gonna close this one out, I guess, with a couple of double questions from Matt Celery. Matt Celery first wants to know, what is your favorite sports movie? Favorite sports movie. I'm a fan of the baseball movies. I like Little Big League. That's the one where a kid ends up owning, he inherits the Minnesota Twins, then names himself the manager, and then manages the Twins to like a playoff game or some shit like that. Not all the way. I like that movie because, spoiler, they don't win at the end. Moral victory. There's also Rookie of the Year, where the kid is the pitcher for the Chicago Cubs because of an arm injury. Yeah, he's got some crazy nonsensical arm injury that makes him pitch really fast.
I'm a big fan of the Major League titles.
Major League. Major League 2, Major League 3, back to the minors.
Yeah.
Big fan of those. Those are good. What about baseball movies? Not what we just said. I mean, basketball movies. What about basketball movies? There's Blue Chips. There's, what's the one? The Semi-Pro.
Semi-Pro was all right.
There's, what about other sports like dodgeball?
Dodgeball was kind of funny. The Wrestler was awesome.
The Wrestler.
I mean, it's Black Swan for guys.
I'll take that. Black Swan for geese. I said dodgeball. What was the only one I was thinking of? Happy Gilmore. Golf.
Happy Gilmore was awesome.
Happy Gilmore. Kingpin bowling.
Weird movie.
Oh, very weird. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Mighty Ducks.
Hockey. Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks 2. I think it was the third one.
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. Football. Any Given Sunday. Was there any other? Friday Night Lights, Any Given Sunday? There's got to be more football movies than that. Unnecessary Roughness, the one with Scott Bakula and Sinbad and Kathy Ireland.
The Fan.
The Fan. That's a baseball movie, sort of. Tony Scott. I was thinking of another football movie. I just had it, too. Just thinking of it. The Longest Yard. And a remake.
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds again. So of all these movies, you're going to go with Major League?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with... all those.
Maybe Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
Just because the soundtrack's so awesome.
That
they lose.
And they lose. Yeah, I was going to say, I like when teams lose at the end of it. You know, it's like, oh, like Rocky loses at the end. Rocky.
Boxing, your favorite there. Yeah, that's it.
Rocky and Raging Bull. Yeah, I guess Rocky. There you go. And sequels that should never have happened. If we're going with Rocky, I'm going to say Rocky 5 should never have happened.
Yeah. What about prequels that should never have happened? Star Wars?
Star Wars prequels, yes. Yep. Correct. Should never have happened.
Nope.
And what else? What other sequels? I mean, Caddyshack 2.
No.
Blues Brothers 2000. That's one that should never have ever have happened, for sure. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
Any comedy sequel.
A lot of the comedy sequels.
Any comedy sequel.
I mean, The Hangover 2 was fun.
It was okay. Not as good as the first one.
No. pretty much any comedy sequel.
Pretty much any comedy sequel. Most sequels shouldn't have happened. It's a rare when a sequel happens. Like, oh, I'm glad they did that. The Pirates of the Caribbean sequels.
No.
A lot of people argued the Matrix sequels.
The second Batman movie was the best one.
The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, I would say both of those are better than Batman Begins. A lot of people do like Batman Begins most stuff.
Oh, Batman Begins is fun.
Batman Begins is good.
But it's no Dark Knight.
So there you go. There's your answers. Sequels that should never have happened. Prequels, that's a good add-on there, Drew. Good job. I'll add the Thing prequel to that. Because that was just the worst. Just the worst. The worst.
It hurts.
So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We're going to get this one all wrapped up here. Anything you want to say on the way out, Drew? Anything you want to say to the people? I guess not. Okay. Drew's got nothing. Drew's got nothing. If you're still listening, send an email to cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Put Drew's got nothing in the subject line. And we'll send you something in the mail. I don't know what yet, but we'll send it.
Did we get any response last week?
Yeah. Yeah, that worked. Actually, I put that shit in the mail.
Nice. Yeah.
Gotta send that to Satellite Beach. Awesome. So there you go. Drew's got nothing. Subject line. CinemaCrestMedia@gmail.com. And yeah, that's it. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back soon with episode 42. We'll probably talk a little bit more about Halloween and horror movies because that'll be the last show before Halloween.
Yep.
Again, SBK Live Halloween Bash. Be there.
We'll be there and we'll be drunk.
Yes. And in costume.
Yes.
So come take pictures with us.
Because we'll be drunk.
And yeah. And my phone's going to die. I can already see it happening during the show.
Oh, guaranteed.
Sorry. There you go. Thanks a lot. We're out, guys. Peace.